You know, today, even as we kind of bring this We Are Every Nation series to a close, I want to say that I love the local church, right? I got saved through the Every Nation Church in 97, 98 when I was a college student. Now, why I say 97, 98, it is because in that 2 years, I was kind of in and out of church, right? I was running away from God and running away from people. I know none of you do that, right? All of you are so faithful. You all come to church every week. But for 2 years, I was just in and out of church. But finally, through the grace of God, through the love of some of the pastors and leaders of the church, I got planted, I got discipled. At that time, the church is Eagle Point Covenant Fellowship, ECF, in Oakland Road, and in 2001, say 2001, we moved, yes, thank you, okay, so we moved to our annex hall in Puchong. I remember part of the cleaning the church just so that it's in time for our Christmas service. You know, our church that time was probably about 150 members at that time, 2001, and as we fast forward to 2015, that's when we changed our name to Every Nation. Okay, so 2015, we changed our name to Every Nation, and then we moved to this place 2 years later, around 2017. Okay, so that's a little bit about our journey, and by the grace of God, today we are at 15 different locations and starting our 16th location next month in JB. Okay, so praise God for that. Now, I'm sure by now, you would have seen the mission statement. Can we read this together? One, two, go. We exist to honor God by establishing Christ-centered, Spirit-empowered, socially responsible churches and campus ministries in every nation. Christ-centered, may everything that we do honors God. May everything that we do be Christ-centered. When it comes to Spirit-empowered, I am always reminded of what A.W. Tozer said. He says, if the Holy Spirit were to be taken out from churches today, 95% of what we do will still go on and no one would know the difference. I thought, wow, okay. So we hope that we are not that kind of church, and we pray that the Spirit of God will be with us in all that we do. Socially responsible, we will talk about it today. Campus ministry, we love all generation. It is natural for us to reach our generation, but it takes all of us to reach the next generation so that we can continue to pass the spiritual legacy to the next generation. Obviously, last week, we speak about global mission, and I could see some of you register interest in some of our mission trip, so that's still available. Now, today, as we talk about what it means to be socially responsible, I often ask this question. If Every Nation Church Malaysia were to disappear today, or were to relocate to somewhere far away today, will the Puchong and the neighboring community notice our absence? Right? That's a good gauge or good reflection of the social and community impact that we have in our community. That's a good question. Now, Jesus, our key passage, is when Jesus started his ministry. This is after the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness. He started his ministry. He came to Nazareth. And what he did was he went to the synagogue. He went to the Jewish temple. And he took the scroll, which is Isaiah 61, and unfolded the scroll and began to read the scroll to the people. And he read out Isaiah 61, which is recorded in the Gospel of Luke. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. Say good news. Say good news, a little bit good news. Okay, say good news. Yes, that's better. Good news to the poor, and he has sent me to proclaim freedom. Say freedom. Freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, and to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. So Jesus was announcing the good news. He was basically announcing his mission on earth. And then this is kind of epic. Okay? So he rolled up the scroll, he gave it back to the attendant, and he sat down without saying anything, and all eyes were on him. And he says, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing, saying that it's going to be fulfilled in him. That's what he came to do. So when Jesus started his ministry, he started by announcing. He says, here I am. I am here to bring healing, to bring restoration to the damage and the destruction that sin brought to mankind. You know, when sin came, it corrupts and destroys everything. It corrupts and destroys relationship, right? Shortly after the fall of Adam and Eve, we see the first murder that took place a couple of chapters later. Sin destroys relationship with one another. Sin destroys our relationship with God. Sin also corrupts our mental health, emotional health. It is because of sin that today we have physical illness and disease. So when Jesus came, he announced the good news. And part of this good news, yes, it is salvation to mankind, but it comes with the restoration and healing to the damage and the destruction that sin brings. Okay, so as we kind of unpack these four things that was mentioned in the verse, it says good news to the poor. Poor in terms of material poor and poor in terms of spiritual poor. Freedom to the captives. God wants to set us free from bondages, from addiction, from the prison of... I was just recalled of a conversation with someone a couple of weeks ago that someone said something about not being able to forgive, something that a friend said 6-7 years ago. And we were surprised that, you know, that was being brought up. And obviously, the person was being imprisoned by unforgiveness. And that unforgiveness has grown to bitterness. And that bitterness has held them captive. We want to proclaim recovery, sight for the blind, whether it's physical illnesses, whether it is spiritual blindness. It could be captives and oppression from the cycle of poverty, from the cycle of oppression. These are some of the things that the good news is supposed to bring freedom. Throughout history, Christian faith has always been in the forefront of social causes, of community service, from, you name it, from setting up hospitals, setting up schools, from inspiring movement of human rights, abolishing slavery. And Christian faith has always been in the forefront. Some years back, I read this book written by CEO of World Vision by the name of Richard Stearns. And he mentioned that our gospel, there's a hole in our gospel. There's a gap in our gospel. And he says that being a follower of Jesus Christ requires much more than just having a personal and transforming relationship with God. It also entails a public and transforming relationship with the world. He challenges us to think that, hey, Christian faith is not just about our upward relationship, but it is also our outward relationship with the world. We have that responsibility as a Christian and as a church. Okay, so what, besides, I know different ones of you may be, I know of businessmen in the church whereby you set up certain percentage so that you can do CSR. I know on a personal basis, some of you have been generous with your time, with your resources, helping out to the different causes that God has put a burden in you. And that's so great. But together as a church, we also want to be responsible, a good steward of where God has placed us. You know, all throughout the years, our church has been kind of involved here and there in different community works. And in 2007, a nonprofit was being set up called Community at Heart, so that we can collaborate with other partners, we can collaborate with corporate, so that we can bring a change to the various community, especially in Puchong. But more recently, during MCO, how many guys remember MCO just like yesterday? Okay, I will always remember MCO because it is the day after my wedding anniversary. Okay, so we were planning for a wedding anniversary dinner the week before, and before you know it, it was announced MCO 18th of March, okay, to 2020. And we celebrate our wedding anniversary fighting for breads and toilet papers in a grocery store. No, I'm just kidding, okay? But I'm sure you remember that 2 days when MCO was being announced. But you know how it was, right? The MCO kind of extended 6 weeks, 8 weeks. It kind of opened and closed. And over time, people, it was difficult, right? Emotionally, it was difficult. Economically, it was difficult. Many people lost their jobs, especially F&B industry, especially all these different entertainment industries. So a lot of people kind of lost their daily living, and it has been extended for so long. Until a certain season whereby, if you recall, that there was this white cloth, white handkerchief season whereby people would begin to hang white handkerchief on their windows to kind of just signify that they are in dire need of, you know, groceries and food and whatnot. So we decided as a church in 2021, it was a Zoom pastoral meeting. It was decided, what can we do for our community? We know of people, our church members know of people who are suffering, who are in need of food and groceries. So Tuesday was a Zoom pastoral meeting, and we decided to bless the community that is in need. And by Sunday, the weekend, groceries were packed and were delivered out to those in need. Of course, it takes a few weeks for us to kind of gather the names and everyone. The church was being involved. If you know of a neighbor, if you know of a person who owns a restaurant, who let go of their foreign workers and all this who are in need. So they begin to give all these names. And every weekend, we will be sending out averagely about 100 boxes of groceries worth 100 ringgit each to different people, different families. And we do that for about 23, 24 weeks. So averagely, around 2,000 packs of food was just being distributed throughout that 20, 24 weeks. All because we need to do something in our community. And it was heartwarming. Pastor Joseph was telling me that after 3 months, sometimes we deliver once every 2 weeks, once every 3 weeks. Some of them will tell us that, after 3 months, it says, we thank you so much for this help. It's okay now. I have managed to secure a job. Thank you so much. You know, we have all these different testimonies, which is heartwarming. When we, as a church, comes together, there are people who help to pack. There are also people who help to send. And we were also able to bless those who are in need to help to send so that we can also bless them with sort of like a transport love gift. So we were able to rally that as a church. What else? I think mental health. Pastor Timothy had a burden about mental health, that mental health challenges is the new poor in urban community. And we have come across various challenges, depression, social anxiety. My mother-in-law suffered from schizophrenia and depression, and I could understand the emotional toil that he has taken with my wife when my wife was a caretaker of her mother when she was going through that phase. And with that burden, we birthed this ministry called Erini. Say the word Erini. Erini in 2018, whereby together with Elaine Low, it was birthed this ministry with just one licensed counselor. And over the next 2 years, we were able to put in processes and rally more people to come on board. And today, we have 8 professionals. They are licensed counselors, clinical psychologists, therapists, seeing averagely about 100 sessions per month. And 35% of these clients are unchurched people. And we are glad that God is able to open these doors for us to serve the community in this manner. Education as well is part and parcel of what we want to do, because we believe education breaks the cycle of poverty. And about a year and a half ago, we had an open door in one of the primary school in Puchong that kind of opened door for us to coach companion class, coach their homework of about 12 kids from the B40 family. So it's filtered by the school, and the school gave us this with the consent of the parents. We were able to bring them after school, transport them to the church, provide lunch, and then with volunteers, we were able to coach them in the various homework. The heartbeat is that they are from challenging families, some of them single parent. We want them to be able to catch up with their homework so that they can stay in school, they are interested in school, so that they can have a good and bright future. And it's so heartwarming to see that students who are not interested in homework, and you can't blame them, right? Because if they don't know, they would not be interested. But as you coach them, when they are able to keep up, they become more motivated, they become more confident, and we receive good feedback from the principal of the school and from some of these parents. And some of them have visited us on weekends, and some of the kids are coming to kids' church. And we are just so glad that we are able to serve the community in this way. We have been asked by the school to, can we take 12 more students? And actually, we can't. Not because we don't have space, but actually it's because we don't have enough volunteer, especially Mandarin-speaking volunteers that will be able to take on some of these extra 12 students. So we have decided to take on 5 first, okay? And we continue to trust God, that God will bring about the resources, the finances, as well as the volunteers, part-time workers, so that we can grow this to be serving the community. Later on, okay, or shortly after this, I'm going to invite two persons, Wendy as well as Elaine, to be on stage so that we can hear their story in journeying and serving the community. One more, I mentioned earlier, Community at Heart, non-profit setup. So we have a center called Pusat Sama Sama. Say Pusat Sama Sama. All right, that was in one of the community in Puchong. And we have a center there so that we can bring about. So over the last more than 10 years, we have run various programs, mainly education in nature. And right now we are doing a weekend reading classes, English reading classes, simple homework coaching, and just being with them to be a positive influence in that community so that we can basically impact, influence them with the love of God. Okay, so that's just a little bit of profile. If you are keen to get to know, there's profile outside for you, for your business, for your company to kind of collaborate alongside with us. Okay, so before I invite the two of them up front, I want to just mention, Mother Teresa says, if you can't feed 100, then just feed 1. Isn't that true? Sometimes the need is so great. Yeah, we can't manage to fix everything. He says, if you can't feed 100, just feed 1. None of us can do great things, but we can all do small things with great love. Can you imagine if every single one of us here in Puchong community, if we were to do small acts with great love to our neighbor, to some of the kids in the school that our kids goes to our people in our taman, we are kind to them, whether it's security guard in our condominium. Can you imagine the impact that we can have in our community? All right, so I would like to invite Wendy as well as Elaine. Would you give them a hand as they come forward? I'd like to introduce them as they come forward. Elaine Low, she heads up our Erini counseling ministry, and she has about more than 15 years of counseling experience. And Wendy, I'll be here. Wendy is our church staff, and she is being involved in our community section, and she is also the corporate liaison officer for Community at Heart. And so part of her role is to go out to meet corporate, to meet business owners so that they can collaborate with some of the programs that we do in Community at Heart. Okay, so now I have kind of asked them to share their heart. I will start maybe with Elaine first. I guess as a Christian, as a believer, how do you see what you do in this Erini counseling integrate with your faith, God's heartbeat for the people? How do you view that? How do you integrate that in what you do? Yeah, maybe you can share.
Right, just to briefly share.
Yeah.
I do have DNA and veins in me in terms of social ministry, social justice, because as young, I follow my father to the slums, and I do have individuals, well, random people coming over to my house for meals. And I grew up with that. So with that, it kind of ingrained in me that, hey, what Christian life is about. So before being as a counselor, I was actually working with a social concern organization called Malaysian Care for over 13 over years. So through that, I learned that, hey, my life is just not revolving in the four walls of church, but I want to really have a sense of being able to be the hands and feet for Jesus. Yeah, when I come aboard to continue on my growth as a counselor. Yeah, because I know that I myself are broken in many ways. Yeah, with a lot of emotional issues and whatnot. And my mom too went through depression as well. So that was the heartbeat. And I know that through that, I would like to see our church, yeah, being the hands and feet and being the instrument, yeah, to receive and just to be there, yeah, to lend a shoulder to cry on and even a pair of listening ears. Yeah.
Maybe you can share a little bit about the heartbeat of Every Knee when it first started and how it birthed to where it is today. Yeah.
Well, from the beginning is that I think Pastor Tim was a very key, important person who just extended the question to me. So it's like, Elaine, what is your heartbeat? And with that, I just shared that my heart is for those who are afflicted and who is broken emotionally, spiritually, as well as mentally. So from there on, and it's all just started on, and then pandemic hit, and that's where we kind of like the needs grew exponentially, yeah, as simple as that. Yeah.
Well, small beginning. I guess God honors us as we step out in small steps. Okay. So Wendy, I want to honor Wendy as well. She has been so faithful over the years in managing, leading the Pusat Sama Sama as well as the companion class here. I remember sometimes the transport van will break down and Wendy will be the one driving the church van just to pick the students up. Okay, so I want to honor her heart for community. Wendy, maybe you can share with us one testimony or one story that you know of the journey of this 1.5 years or so of companion class. Maybe you can share with us. Yeah.
Thank you, Pastor. I think by grace of God and with every hard work that each volunteer teacher put in, invest their time and their love with the student, so that I can share some of the testimony that we see in companionship class. Those children, they come to us, right? They don't have a good environment in house and also lacking of parents' supervision. So usually they are just growing up by themselves for those D40 students. So when they come to our class, generally they have a very weak foundation. They cannot, some of them they don't know alphabet, some of them they don't know school kata, very basic. So I still can recall that that one of the students, she school only give her 3 AJAM for her to prepare for the AJAM. So when she come to the companionship, the teacher encouraged her, can you do 5? Then she did it. After that, you know, slowly 7, and now she can do 10 easily. Little effort that compared with when the first day she come to us. So So most of the children, they saw improvement in their academic performance and also character. Some will have more improvement, some they might just make some little steps, but it's meaningful to everyone of us who are teaching them, and we feel so encouraged. And there's a girl that her study is a bit slow. She always score 0 in her spelling, and the other day she just told me, teacher, because I asked her to get 3, so she told me, teacher, I can't get 3, but I get 1. So I see this is a great improvement in her. So for this journey that we have in the companionship class, school also give us a good feedback that the children, they have shown improvement in their confidence level. Now they will start to raise their hand in the class if they don't understand. And one of the particular girl that I want to share with you her story, she joined us when she was 9 years old. And she already, 9 years old means standard 3, so she cannot handle alphabet. She cannot master the 26 alphabet. So the teacher had to work with her from the very bottom to teach her alphabet and school kata. In 3 months, we can see her progress, the good progress she started able to read Bahasa Malaysia. And also, we also put her on reading English reading platform, which is one-to-one with teacher on WhatsApp group, 1 hour each week. So now she's in Standard 5 and she's able to read Bahasa Malaysia and also English. So I think these are the testimony and the improvement that we can see in every children that we journey with us in the companionship class. Yeah, and her confidence level also become beyond the academic. I mean, she also show improvement in handling her emotion. When she come to our first class and or during the first few months, she will be like sitting there and all, you don't know what to do with her. She don't know how to express herself. But slowly when the trust and the relationship that we build with her, that she learned to be more open and to learn to express herself and to share what are the challenges that she has. So she learned to be more obedient and at the same time that she very cooperative in that sense. Nowadays, even she don't not feel good, but she still can listen to teacher. And even she is the one who are very regularly attending our church with the sibling, and she enjoy our teachers, in fact. Yeah. So I think these are the good testimony with all the hard work that teachers put in.
Wow, praise God, praise God. Maybe you can share with us as a church, how can the church get involved? What are the support that you need right now, even as the school is desiring us to take more? But maybe you can share with the church. Maybe some of us, we have resources, we have time, we have ideas. Maybe you can share with the church, how can we be involved in the companion class?
I think as a church, I think there's many ways that we can get involved. But one of the very practical way is that we really need teachers. As Pastor shared that we are going to take in another 5 students and we need to have more volunteers to come on board. And if you have few hours, like for example, 1 hour per week, this is good enough because you can do one-to-one reading English class with the children online. You don't need to come here, you can do online. So I think this one is very doable. And if you got spare time, do come and join us one day per week, spend 3 hours with the children to guide the children in their homework. And you can commit for long term also. Yeah, I think volunteer is the one that we really need. We need teachers. Yeah, when there's a children ready, we need teachers. So I hope that each of us can play a little role, which I think is will be very meaningful to the comprehension class to help us to grow. To grow more effectively and to grow to impact more children in Puchong area.
Even those with no teaching experience are welcome, right, to speak to you.
Yes, even those you do know Mandarin is fine. Yeah, because the children can understand Cantonese, and now they even can learn how to speak in English, the simple English, or maybe simple Malay. Even they do know, right? I think you will be a blessing to them because they will learn English at the same time to force them to learn. Yeah.
That's great. Those teachers, assistant teachers, admin as well. Thank you, Wendy. Elaine, what about Erini? How can a church be involved? You know, we are not licensed people, licensed professional. So how can the church be involved in what Erini is doing?
Well, for mental and psychological or emotional help, all of us seated here, we do have our mental health and emotional health. So all of us can play a small part. If we are in church, we are in life group, we hope that there is equipping of knowledge and understanding when it comes to mental health awareness. And we hope that as a little team of us, we would like to provide that kind of platform to train, to provide that kind of awareness in the pipeline. So we'd like to encourage all of us here to be equipped. First of all, you can do that. Everything is on internet, website, and even there is mental health first aid course available. And if you like to, you can approach me. I can point you to that. And also secondly is that we need the help from if you're a professional seated right here, I do not know who you are. I just got a text yesterday that a counselor was just sitting in a 5 p.m. service, and he just texted me, hey, you know, you're on stage, but not me, my colleague was. So, yeah, you know, among us, I'm sure there are some sort of professionals, whether it is a therapist, whether it's an occupational therapist, or speech therapist, and so on, right? So we would like to expand the work of R&E, not just, you know, within that. We really have vision to provide support group for various individuals. In the past, we have had support group for patients with schizophrenia, and now we have embarked on support group for caregivers. Caregivers is also a very important area to support and to work with. So if you are interested, if you'd like to know more, yeah, please approach, and we'd like to guide you through. And if you are business owners, yeah, small businesses, no matter what, we currently are partnering with two organizations or small businesses to provide employee assistance program, EAP. Yeah, so basically if you have numbers of employees, what you can do is to kind of look into their mental well-being, all right? And partner with us, and we can provide them the counseling services and support. Yeah, and of course, finance is something that we really, not enough, money is not enough for us, because, first of all, is that there are many of clients that come through our doors or under our care, many of them are not able to afford a professional fee. So we rely a lot on our professionals. We only provide them with a little love gift. Yeah, and this is where the church comes in. And we hope that we can partner with those of you who like to give. And also that is to also support professionals like our team for advancement. We need to continuously learning so that we can be better in our approaches and our practices. Yeah, so that's what I can think of for now.
That's great. If you notice, every now and then we do run various talks and workshops. And so that's by Erini. So that's where we ourselves can get educated, and we can also bring people so that we can be educated, and we can be the community that helps to integrate some of the people who may be going through mental health challenge alongside with the professional support. We can be the community that helps to assimilate them back to community. I think that's part and parcel of our role as well. I really believe that the church is really the bridge, right? The bridge to God's love and God's healing as well. So beyond just professional, I think you may know of a friend who is a professional and who would like to get involved in community service like Erini. Please feel free to connect them to Elaine as well, especially I think male counselor or professionals, as well as bilingual counselors and clinical psychologists and professionals. Yeah, so I think that's the key need right now, Elaine. Yeah. So once again, will you give Wendy and Elaine a hand?